I am glad that you're here. Let me turn this. A lovely sound to listen to out there, I'm certain. I apologize for that. Somehow it got flipped over. I blame my child. I blame them for everything else. I might as well blame them for this as well. Hey, we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Of course. Why not? Hail, snow, wind, rain. Watch out for the tornadoes, all right? You never know. Oh, sure, I'm thankful to be inside and dry, aren't you? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Hey, any news junkies out here? Any of you listen to the news, watch the news, read the news? Follow anybody a follower? Okay, some of you are. One thing, if you raised your hand or if you're a news junkie, one thing I know about you. One is that you are up to date on everything that's going on. Number two is you live most of your life irritated. Because I'm a little bit of a news junkie, and I drive quite a bit, and so I'll listen to the news when I'm driving, listen to talk radio or listen to the news, and I find myself after about 5 or 10 minutes of listening to the news or 20 minutes of listening to the news, finding myself just on the inside getting irritated, just with life in general. And I figured out after a while that the reason why that is because whenever anybody gives us news, they always tell you everything that's bad that's going on. Have you noticed that all news is bent towards evilness? I mean, anything that's wrong, anything that's bad, it's going to rain outside. That's the news. There's wars going on. That's the news. Money is down. That's the news. Everything that's given to you as news is always how awful things are. And every once in a while, I think to myself, I wish somebody would share with me something that's good that's going to happen. Tell me the weather's going to be nice. Or tell me that wars are going well. Or that we're being victorious. Or maybe you're not a news person, but you like good news like I do. You ever been to the bank, put money in, taking money out, and they give you a slip of paper that has your total balance on it, and think to yourself, I could use some good news right about now. You ever feel that way? All right, all of us enjoy hearing good news about whatever. If you're in school, one of the greatest things you can hear, I mean, the greatest news you can hear when you're in school is no homework, or we decided to take tomorrow off, or field trip, or the test has been canceled, or this is the last day of school. Whatever message is delivered, those are the good things you like to hear. All of us are in love with good news, though about other people, we don't mind hearing bad things. When it comes to ourselves, we love to hear good stuff or think of ourselves as good people or think that what's coming in the future for us is going to be good. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse number 1, the Bible gives to us a word. It tells us a word that's not something that we use commonly in our everyday vernacular. That is, when we're just talking back and forth. But it's a word that literally means good news. It's what it's talking about. Look down at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, but you can look on with someone that's near you, let me encourage you to do that. And if nobody around you has a Bible, I'm going to read this. But I do want you to know that I'm reading what the Bible has to say, just so you know it's not something I'm making up. And it's not my authority upon which I stand to give you what I'm about to tell you. This is based upon what God has said. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you," here's the word, "the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once." And we'll stop right there. Verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 15, uses the word gospel. Now again, it's not a word that you use unless you're in church and you hear somebody stand up and read a verse like this, or perhaps talk about what we refer to as the gospel. Or, on occasion, you might hear a gray hair, no hair person use the word gospel if they're saying something like, hey, what I'm telling you right now is the gospel truth. Meaning, the rest of the time they're speaking, they may be lying through their teeth. But right now, what they're telling you is really, really, really true. Well, the word gospel doesn't mean something that's really, really, really true. The word gospel means good news, or literally, glad tidings. This is something that's positive, that's good, that's helpful. And I will tell you, in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, or good news, that's mentioned here, is not good news about the weather, or about wars, or even about your bank account. The gospel mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, is good news about how you and I can know beyond any doubt that when our bodies die, that we'll spend forever with God in a place called heaven. Now, friend, that's good news. See, weather changes. It's warm, it's cold, it rains, it snows, it gets nice out. There's good days, there's rough days. Wars start and wars stop. Countries rise and countries fall. Money comes in, money goes out. There is a time when people are rich and they can also be poor. There are all kinds of that. But to know, the K-N-O-W, to know beyond any doubt, if you really can, to know beyond any doubt that when I die, that forever and ever and ever, I'm going to spend with God in heaven, that's better news than anything I could ever hear at school, at work, or certainly on the television. I'm telling you, this is good news. And in the time that we have together, I just want to share with you what God says here about what you need to understand and receive if you're going to know, if you're going to know that you're on your way to heaven. By the way, this is not something that other people can do for you. This is something that is individual. Each person who's here this morning has to make the decision of whether or not you will receive the message of the gospel, of the good news. If you receive it, then the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. If you reject it, then it really doesn't matter what kind of family you come from. If your grandfather was a deacon or a pastor, it doesn't matter if you grew up in church, if you come to church all your life. Each person here individually has the opportunity given by God to receive the message of this gospel, of this good news. So I want to share it with you. And I'll let you know right now that at the end of the time of my sharing it with you, I want to give you the opportunity, if you'd like to receive the message of the good news so that you can leave this morning knowing that you're on your way to heaven. And I'm telling you, I would be thrilled about it. God would be thrilled about it. And it'll change your life. Let me just share with you. In verse number 3 of 1 Corinthians 15, basically what we have laid out for us is all of the parts of the good news, or what it is that makes up the good news, what you need to understand in order to know what it is you're receiving. What is the good news? What is the gospel? Well, verse number 3 of 1 Corinthians 15 says this: "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." He's speaking of the gospel there. And then he says, "How that," and here we go, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Verse 4 says he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Okay, so there are three elements here that make up the gospel or the good news that'll let you know how you can know for certain your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. And the three elements are this, according to the scripture. It is first about Christ, how that Christ, the Bible says, died for our sins and he was buried and he rose again. So the first element or the first part of the gospel is Christ. Secondly, the Bible says that he died for our sins. So I would say that this is the us part of the gospel. So the first part is Christ. Secondly is the us part of the gospel. And then thirdly, the Bible says that it's according to the scriptures. Now you give me another word or another name that we give to the scriptures. What are the scriptures commonly called by us today? Okay, the Bible. Some people say the Word of God, but the Bible. So we have the three elements that make up the good news. How you can know for certain you're on your way to heaven is Christ, and then us, and then thirdly, the Bible. Now, I don't mean to treat you like children, but repetition is the key to learning. Do you mind saying the three elements with me? I'll give them to you one more time because some of you may have not been paying attention. And just in case you're that student, then I'm going to give them one more time and then we'll say them together. Three elements that make up the gospel, the good news. Number 1, Christ. Number 2, us. Number three, the Bible. All right, here we go. Ready? Three elements that make up the good news about how you and I can know for certain that we're on our way to heaven. Number one is Christ. Number two is? And number three? Number one? Number two? Number three? Two? Three? One? Two? One? Three? Two? All right, now, I've been a little bit silly with it just to get it in your brains, but it really is true. All three of these elements are absolutely necessary and important. I want to just talk through them real quickly with you. I'm going to start with number three and work backwards. The Bible says that the gospel, remember what the gospel is. Remember, that's the good news about how you can know for certain your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. This is good news. The Bible says that this gospel is according to the scriptures. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that the good news is according to the Bible, according to the scriptures? Okay, listen, here's the reason. Because this Bible that I have in my hand that you hold in your lap or is on the pew beside you is the word of the God. This is what God has told us. And we know that everything in here is true. Now, the Bible has been looked down upon by people in society for literally hundreds, if not thousands, a couple thousand years now, where people have tried to say that the Bible isn't true, isn't so, isn't true. And time after time after time, the Bible is proven to be everything that it claims to be. The Bible is not primarily a science textbook, but where the Bible speaks to science, did you know that the Bible is always accurate? The Bible declared things way before science ever knew that things were true. For instance, in the 1400s, people thought the world was flat. The 12, 13, 1400s, they were still wondering if the world was flat or if it's round. Everybody thought it was flat. Science. Can science ever be wrong? Science said that the world was flat, and yet the Bible, for thousands of years, has talked about the world being a sphere, being a ball. So God knew that ahead of time. He's the one that created. He gave it to us in His Word. And though the Bible's not primarily a science textbook, when it speaks to it, it's always so. The Bible's primary purpose is not to be a history textbook, but where the Bible speaks to history, it has always been proven as accurate. People a number of times have said about the scriptures, about the Bible, that sometimes the historical truth that it gave wasn't correct, and then they begin to dig and excavate where the Bible claims certain cities have been, and lo and behold, buried beneath the sand is everything that the Bible said was there. It's just proof after proof after proof that the Bible is true. This book, though, is not true only because of science and because of history. This book is true because it comes from God. Over hundreds and hundreds of years, different men were given messages by God, and all of them coincide perfectly. There are mathematical truths, that is true. There are scientific truths, that is true. There are historical truths, that is true. But this book is not just a textbook for us to learn from in those areas. This book is the Word of God, and everything that is in it is absolutely so. Okay, so why is it so important that this gospel is according to the scriptures? Okay, listen, think. If this book comes from God, and God says in here that this gospel that I'm preaching to you from 1 Corinthians 15 is according to the scriptures, what He is saying is, God is saying that it has His stamp of approval on it. This is God's message of salvation. This is not something that I came up with or that Pastor Barker and I got together on and tried to figure out. Or that 100 years ago or 200 years ago, a group of men got together and said, let's create a religion, a way of thinking. Let's tell people that this is what the gospel is. This comes straight from God. And it is He who has the right to show us and tell us how it is that a person can be saved. Now, in today's time, it's very popular. I understand this. It's very popular to say that there are many ways to get to God. That is both logically inaccurate, and it is also biblically not true. It doesn't make sense logically to say you can go in different directions and get to the same place. I'm sorry. That is absolutely illogical.
But the Bible itself claims that there is only one way to get to heaven. There is only one way to have your sins forgiven. And this gospel is according to the scriptures, which means it has God's stamp of approval on it. Friend, I don't know, you may have come into the auditorium this morning. You may have come into the church here this morning thinking to yourself, hey, I'm going to get to God just by being sincere in what I think, or I'm going to get to God because I'm a pretty good person and my good works outweigh my bad works. I'm going to get to heaven because I come from a family that's religious, or I have been to church on a number of occasions, or I've confessed to a priest, or I've burned candles, or I've been sprinkled, or I was dedicated as a baby. There's a number of things you may think will get you to God. But listen, if those things do not match up with what is according to the scriptures, if it doesn't match up with what God says, then your hope of getting to heaven, that which you're counting on, is like sand that falls out from underneath you when you step on it, that moves out from underneath your feet. The only thing that can be solid for you to build, for you to know that you're going to heaven, is what's according to the scriptures, what God says. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I'm declaring to you this gospel, this good news about how you can know you're on your way to heaven. I'm declaring this to you, and it's according to the scriptures, which means it has God's authority, God's stamp of approval. Now, number three is the Bible. You remember what number two is? It's the us. Okay. Good news is only good if it's good to you. Did you know that? Good news is only good when it affects you. Let me give you a silly example. If I came in this morning and I say, hey, I got good news. Good news. Everybody, good news. Somebody in this auditorium is going to receive $50,000, a brand new Corvette, and an all-expense-paid trip around the world. Somebody is. And you know who it is? It's me. It's me. $50,000, a new Corvette, and a trip around the world. Isn't that great? Aren't you happy? And you say, well, not particularly. Well, why not? Well, you say, because you're the one getting it and not me. And some of you are sitting out there thinking to yourselves, well, if you got $50,000, you'd share some with me. You don't know me very well. Good news like that, or any kind of good news. Now, you can be happy for other people, but good news is only good to you if it affects you. Okay, please hear this. Listen to me, please. The great thing about this good news that's according to the scriptures is that it's for you. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3, the Bible says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. It was for us. Now, the Bible here says about us what you and I already know about us, if you've ever thought about it at all, and that is that you and I are sinners. That is true. We don't deserve heaven. We don't. Only perfection can get to heaven. Some people say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. I paid my taxes. I've served my country. I've done some good things in my life. Doesn't that gain me any merit to try to get to heaven? And the answer is, while those things may be good and fine things, being good is not the standard for heaven. Being perfect is. So unless you're completely perfect and without any fault, without any sin, without ever having told a lie, without ever having been disobedient to your parents, without ever having taken God's name in vain, without ever having any envy inside your heart, without ever looking, guys, on a woman to lust after her in your heart, unless all of that has been pushed away from you and you've never done anything wrong, then we're all in the same boat. We're sinners. Only perfection can get to heaven. And I am a sinner, and you are too. In fact, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's not given intended to make us all feel better about ourselves. Have you ever said something or done something and afterwards you felt really, 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 really idiotic after you did it? Maybe you're in a group of people and you say something, and as soon as it comes out of your mouth, it's one of those, like, you're grabbing after the words, but you can't get a hold of them. You ever had this happen? And so you feel like, is there a hole, a small hole I can crawl into and pull it over myself because I can't believe I just said that. And then afterwards, somebody comes up to you in the group and they come up and say, you know what? I have done the exact same thing before. And you go, ah, oh, well, at least people understand we're all idiots together or something like that. When the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, and for all have sinned, the intent is not to go, well, at least we're all together on this. Whew, we're all in the same boat. I mean, we're sinking, but we're all in the same boat. It's not that at all. The reason that God lets us know that is to let us know that there's not different levels of people with God. All of us are sinners. I am. You are. And because of our sin, we can't get to heaven. My sin is what keeps me from being able to get to God. God is holy. I am not. He is perfect. I am not. If I wanted to, I could not get to God because I'm not good like God is. And he's the standard. So the Bible here says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the gospel, the good news about how you can know for certain that you're on your way to heaven, that's according to the scriptures, is for you because Christ died for your sins. Your sins that keep you from God. Your sins that will condemn you forever to be separated from God if you die in your sins and spend forever in a place called hell that God made for the devil and for his demons. Your sins can be forgiven. This is good for you. This is good for me. This gospel is great news. Now the Bible says it's according to the scriptures, the Bible. It's for us. And then the first element of the gospel is, do you remember? Christ. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 3. Look down at it if you have it there in your lap still. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, pardon me, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, verse 4, and that he, Christ, was buried, and that Christ rose again the third day, again according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ is not only the first element of the gospel, he's the central theme of it. That is, all of this revolves around Christ, because without Christ, you and I have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, we have no chance. We're sinners. We deserve to be separated from God. There's nothing I can do. I can't climb my way out of this pit to get to God. I have no hope. If I die in my sins, I'll spend forever trying to pay for my sins in a place called hell. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He became a man, that is true, but he is also deity. He is the Son of God, and he came to this earth in order to do for you and me what we couldn't do for ourselves, in order to pay the price of our sins. I can't do anything to pay for my sins. You can't do anything to pay for your sins, but Jesus Christ was perfect, and he offered his perfect blood to pay for us. He offered his life as a sacrifice in order to be the payment, or the Bible word is propitiation. Big word, means payment. He offered himself to be the payment to pay for our sins. And you know what? It worked. Jesus Christ died on the cross one day, 2,000 years ago. They took the Lord Jesus Christ after beating him beyond recognition, and they took him to a place called Calvary or Golgotha. It's a hill. At the base of the hill, they laid the cross on the ground, and the Lord Jesus Christ laid down on the cross. One soldier got on one side, took a spike, and put it through his hand and into the wood. On the other side, a soldier stretches out his arm and puts a nail into his hand and drives it through his hand and into the wood. One foot, very possibly, placed on the other, and a nail placed through both feet and into the wood. And then the cross was lifted up and dropped into a hole. When the bottom of the cross hit the bottom of the hole, his joints were torn one from another, though never a bone broken. His body became like water. And for several hours, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was perfect, who never had done anything wrong, not anything. He came to this earth in order to show people who God is. He came to this earth for the purpose of making it possible for sinful mankind to get to God. And instead of people bowing down before him, he who had made the world, they hung him on a cross. And Jesus Christ, for several hours, hung on the cross. Every time He wanted to exhale. He had to press against the nail that held his feet in place, scratch his bruised and bloodied back against that rough-cut timber in order to stand up and be able to exhale his breath out. Jesus Christ hung in absolute shame on the cross. And listen, he did not do that just as a martyr for a good cause. Please hear me and know what the Bible says. Know what God says about him. Jesus Christ died on the cross willingly and obediently for the purpose of paying for the sins that keep you and me from being able to get to heaven. On the cross, listen to one of the phrases Jesus Christ spoke. He cried out while hanging on the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, first sound, it sounds kind of like an odd statement. Here he is, the Son of God, God in flesh, and he's speaking to the Father. Forsaken, what's that about? Let me tell you what that's about. Please. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. So that all of my sin, all of my wickedness, all of my wrong speech, all of my envious thoughts, all of my hatred, all of my wrong was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became sin. Well, God can't see sin. The Father cannot look at sin. And so for the first time in eternity past and the only time in eternity future, the Father turned his back and would not look at his Son. And for the first time, there was a separation. God from God separated. And Jesus Christ literally suffered hell on the cross. You and I may have gone through some tough times in our life. You and I may have been through some difficult times, but you have never known. I have never known what it is to be separated from God, not for a moment. But Jesus Christ does. And all of this was done in order to pay for your sin and for mine. Jesus Christ cried on the cross, "It is finished," and he died. He gave up the ghost. They took Christ off the cross. They put him in a tomb. Put a large rock in front of the tomb. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. When he came back to life, he was proving that he is who he claimed to be and that he is powerful enough to do what he said he can do in providing for you salvation. If he can save himself from death, don't you think he can save you from your sins? See, the point is, everything that Christ did, he did for the purpose of making it possible for we sinners to be able to get to God. For you and me to have our sins forgiven. So this is the gospel. This is the good news. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. All of this is according to the scriptures. Has God's stamp of approval on it. Well, somebody says, okay, Tim, if Christ died and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures for my sin, then doesn't that mean that all of us are going to heaven? I mean, doesn't it mean that all of us get to go to heaven? If Christ died for my sin, then I get to go to heaven, right? Well, what it means is you have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven. In verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, well, let's go to verse number 3. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also..." Do you see the next word? Do you mind looking down at it? Let's try it. I'll kind of get us into it, and then you read that word, all right? "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Salvation was offered that day that Christ died on the cross. But salvation is not pressed upon anyone. God does not press his gift on anyone. He offers it freely to all who will receive by faith Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John that to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But salvation is not pressed to anyone. And if you refuse Jesus Christ, friend, you do it with your own will and you do it to your own peril. If God is God and the Bible is true, if there is a heaven and there is a hell and there is sin and all of this is true, then God offers freely his salvation to anyone, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you refuse it, then you bring on your own head the punishment that you have deserved, that I deserve. But I'm free from the punishment. Not because I'm good, not because I'm a preacher. No, I'm free from the punishment because of Jesus Christ. Because I received the gospel. I received Christ who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again so that I might have eternal life. So if you were to ask me this morning, hey, Tim, are you going to heaven when you die? I can say, yes, I am. You must really think you're something. Oh, no, 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 no. No, it's not me. It's what Christ has done for me. And what he did for me, he's done for you. Well, you might be tempted to say, but Tim, you're a preacher. God did that for you. You're a preacher. Christ died for me when I was a sinner, just like you are. And he offered me eternal life when I wanted nothing to do with him, just like he offers to you. As a young boy, I sat down on the back of the back porch of our house in Florida, and I told God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. I accept Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And that moment, I received the Lord Jesus Christ. And that moment, God saved me. He forgave my sins. He made me his child. He changed my life from the inside out. Salvation does not come to people who change their life and come to God. Salvation comes to people who accept Jesus Christ. And then God changes them from the inside out. And what God has done for me, please hear me. If you're a teenager, if you're a grade school student, if you're a young adult, a middle-aged person, or a senior citizen, what God has done for me, according to the scriptures, for you, by Christ, God will do for you. Hey, I got good news. Good news. Good news. About the weather? About your bank account, we know how that goes. About the wars, about our country, about the White House, about politicians. No. Something much bigger, something much better. This is good news about how you can know for certain that you're on your way to heaven. It's Jesus dying for you, and all of it according to the scriptures. Now, would you like to receive Christ? Would you like to? If you've not come to the place where you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then this morning, why don't you? Why don't you, right where you sit, receive the Lord Jesus Christ? It would be our privilege. We would love to be able to take a Bible and share with you, show you how you can know for certain that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Let's do it this way, just so nobody feels social pressure. In a moment, I'm going to have everybody close their eyes. When everybody's closed their eyes, in a moment, not yet, but in a moment, I'm going to ask for those that would like to trust Christ as Savior just to simply raise your hand. I'll not embarrass you. I won't point you out or have you give a speech, nothing like that. But if you raise your hand and would like to trust Christ, I'm going to encourage you to do it right in your seat. In fact, if you need help with it, I'd be thrilled to help you. What we have here, just so you know, is Pastor will be standing here at the front or up on the platform with me in a moment, and then he has people that he can connect you with. So if you're a man, there's another man in the church that can share with you, that can show you how you can know for certain you're on your way to heaven. If you're a lady, there are other ladies who will take a Bible and show you and help explain and help you pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If you are a sinner and you know you need the Lord Jesus Christ, then this morning we would love to be able to pray with you. Now, you can ask the Lord to save you where you sit. That's fine. If you have questions or things that don't quite make sense to you yet, then let us talk to you. Let us pray with you. We'd love to help you. Now, would everyone mind just closing your eyes where you sit? Again, so that there's no need of social pressure. I'll ask that nobody look out of curiosity. I'm going to be looking because of knowing who to pray for, and then Pastor will be looking.